target.
That's too bad. Maybe you should dress like a policeman and reroute the parade.
If that wasn't such a good idea, I'd flatten you.
Mamma mia, that was a close.
And we're back.
Howdy.
Howdy. All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
God damn it.
What? I said I could hear you now.
No, the mute is supposed to...
Oh.
I clicked on the mute. The light turns on. All right, well, hold on a second. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
God damn it.
You broke your mute button. You broke your mute button.
Well, something's not working right.
There's 104 days of summer vacation till school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots or locating Frankenstein's brain. Finding the dodo bird, painting the continent, or driving our sister insane. This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow will likely be a million and six times better. So make every minute count, jump off, jump in, and seize the day. And let's make sure that in every single possible way, today is gonna be a great day. Crossing the tundra or building a roller coaster, skiing down a mountain of beans. Devising a system for remembering everything or synchronizing submarines. Racing chariots, taming tiger sharks, constructing a portal to Mars. Building a time machine, stretching a rubber tree or wailing away on guitars.
Oh, man.
This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow. Great day. Hey, 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 hey.
Let's put our heads together and design a master plan. We may miss dinner, but I know Mom will understand.
We've got our mission and suppliers, yogurt, gumballs, and desire, and a pocket full of rubber bands, the manual on handstand, a unicycle compass, and a camera that won't focus, and a canteen.
So then when I go into the software, there's a button here for mute, and I click on it, and the little microphone turns blue with an X through it, and it should be muted.
And it's not. I can hear what you're saying.
even when I push the button and the red light turns on, I still see the mute button, or the software lights up. So it says, it thinks it's being muted. I don't understand.
I just don't understand!
Hello and welcome to episode 47, day 47 of the podcast organization without a cool acronym. I'm, of course, TFJ Mike. Joining me is Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today is day 47 of our 2016-2017 summer vacation, and we are celebrating 10 years since Phineas and Ferb was on the air. This show ain't no kiddie ride, folks.
Last night's meteor might not have been as innocent as we thought. Look what happened to Dr. Zachary.
Cool.
Now what? All right, what are you two up to?
Watching the Invasion of the Human Overlords marathon. They're playing all five movies tonight.
Is that all? Well, enjoy your lame colorless marathon. I'm heading back. Wait, who's that?
That's Dr. Abernathy. He's a scientist.
Wow, he's kind of hunky for a 50s guy.
Don't worry, I'll keep you safe.
Thanks, Doctor, but please call me Amanda.
All right, Amanda.
Sold! Get me up to speed.
The aliens are replacing the heads of all of the humans with their own shape-shifting multi-eyed heads, which can then assume the form of the host human.
Get out! And then?
Once they've replaced more than 51% of all the humans, they can assume control of the Earth for their own nefarious purposes.
Shut up! And? No way! Is there no way to stop them?
Only if you catch them when they're in their human state. That's when they're at their weakest.
Then how can you tell they're aliens?
There's three classic ways to spot an alien. First, they have strange vocal patterns. They don't quite get human syntax.
Pass me that Greebop, please.
You mean this hammer?
Oh, yes, hammer. Greebop is what we call it in Ohio, where I am from.
What else?
They're anatomically disproportionate.
Now I need the Spriggle-brock.
The what?
Never mind, I will get it.
But the clear sign is that they can safely remove any human head and replace it with their multi-eyed shape-shifting one.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be a giveaway.
Like this.
Doctor, what's wrong? Are you all right?
Yes, Amanda, I'm fine. We're all fine. And soon you will be too.
No!
Sorry, Amanda, but we've waited long enough.
No! This can't be. What's happening? No!
I tried to warn you.
Doctor, your head is attached. You're human again.
Yes, and once Dr. Zachary returns from heading into those dark, ominous woods alone with his not fully charged flashlight, you will be too, Amanda.
But it was all right here. Oh, why did I think anyone would believe me? I was a fool. A fool.
Oh my gosh, you guys, that was awesome.
So today we've got Invasion of the Ferb Snatchers and Ain't No Kitty Ride. Do you remember when you first saw these, or have you watched these episodes specifically multiple times before watching them for the podcast?
You know, I remember Ain't No Kitty Ride.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely, one of my kids were watching, younger, and we watched it together. And, I don't remember Invasion of the Ferb Snatchers originally. What I do remember is the actual, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The old black and white one.
Yeah.
And the old movies. They used to come on. In Chicago, there was a Saturday morning like TV series called The Son of Sven Gulli.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, Sven Gulli was a guy by the name of Rich Coase, and he'd get himself done up in like makeup. And he was like a vampire-looking guy, kind of with a top hat. And he had this horrible Chicago accent. And he would do, like, comedy bits in between, like, during the commercials and stuff. And it was funny. There was a lot of rubber chickens involved. That type of thing. But they had these old black-and-white, you know, horror movies. And it was an integral part of my childhood.
Yeah, this one, Invasion of the Ferb Snatchers, obviously, like you said, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that's obviously the biggest illusion here. You know, you got Mork and Mindy, so Robin Williams and Pam Dauber in here. Because apparently when Robot Linda's attempt to set the free chicken, or set the cooked chicken free, is reminiscent of the fly, be free, when Robin was talking to an egg. And then Saturday Night Live, when Robot Linda is referred to as a parental unit, that term is also used in the Coneheads sketches.
Right.
So, yeah.
Wow. That you know, fly, be free. That's, that might be stretching, but yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, I'll buy it. I recognize it, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fly, be free. Ha ha! Go, go, you're a free little skin bird. That's funny.
It's just so crazy.
How do you spot an alien again?
Your memory's back. How come you don't remember to light a Zartha?
I must have neuralized myself in order to keep the information for myself.
Ah, good plan.
Wait, man, what you doing?
I always do the driving.
Wait, no, whoa.
I remember that.
What you remember is you used to drive that old busted joint. See, I drive the new hotness. Old and busted, new hotness. Old busted hotness.
How do you spell an alien again? Call Agent J and Agent K.
That's right. You just won't remember it when they're done.
Yep.
First rule is strange vocal patterns.
Yep.
Like if you're Scottish.
Yep.
The second rule is anatomically disproportionate.
Mm-hmm.
I have that problem.
Yeah.
Actually hung like a baby.
Okay then.
10 pounds, 17 inches. Number three, they can remove any human head.
And replace it with their multi-eyed heads.
In light of that last joke, this just doesn't work for me.
No! What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
What the hell?
You're not firm.
I am so disturbed at this point.
That's right. Well, you know, the other vaguely... line arousing. Yeah.
And you complain about me making this not a family show when I want to curse every now and then.
Well, you know, there are French maids. There are French maids in this episode.
So basically what he's saying, folks, is that there are innuendos and innuendon'ts.
This is an innuendo. Not only does Carl have French maids, but the French maids are kind of into him.
Yeah.
This is undercover.
Yeah. Well, Major Monogram asks him, "Oh, Fortune, that means cheap, right?" And the maid just kind of, because it's not Fortune, it's Fortune, it's Fortune, but she, you know, because of the accent there, I'm like,
no, petite is small. He says it's a small fortune.
Yeah. That's what
does that cost? What's the small fortune? And he's like, well, that means cheap, right?
Yeah, and she just snickers at it.
We just said. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Or is it we just speak?
Yeah.
We just...
So, Candace thinks Ferb's an alien. This then sends her into the panic room.
That's right. Once again, the panic room. This is not the first appearance of the panic room.
No.
We've seen the panic room before.
And much, much later, we will see, much, much later, actually, when we go to the second dimension, we will see that Linda apparently has a a daredevil deprivation tank.
Really?
Yeah.
Right next to the panic room?
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much.
I think it's in the garage.
No, it's in the basement. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah. Deuce plot in this is he's going to wrap everything up in a little bowinator.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. His portion of this episode is so small. I don't even have any notes on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than the little bowinator, that's all I got. I think this was mostly Candace losing her shit.
Mm-hmm.
What I like is at the end, where Candace's ending is basically the same as how the Invasion of the Head Snatchers ended.
Yeah, the movie.
Where the final girl is.
I was a fool. Yeah.
We'll just call her the final girl after the trope, but the final girl is in, you know, standing where the building used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never believe me!
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it's...
Especially for Candace.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the episode was a bit slow. It needed a little punching up.
Yeah... Yeah, no, I like it. It just, You're right. Doof's plot is a little vague. I mean, his innator this time around, it seems like it was only written to be used so they could clean up and not have Mom really find out what was going on. Because as we've talked about for the last 46 days, for the most part, the A story usually gets cleaned up by the B story, which is Doofenshmirtz's innators, or his schemes, or his blimps, or whatever. Carbon footprint, I don't know, something. And I think that's what this was. It was just written here to clean everything up. I don't know. You're not Ferb is the song in this, and I do like the song. I think it's a cool song. But yeah, overall, it's just. Oh, it's called The Wrapped Up in a Nice Little Bowinator. that's what it's called.
That's what I wrote down. Wrapped Up in a Nice Little Bowinator.
Yeah. And it.
That was all I remember. Didn't he, like, swallow a package or something and then it blew up?
Yes! It's at the end. At the very end when he goes, after, like, right as Perry is leaving, curse you, Perry, the blah, why did I ever order such a large bedroom set? Because why the hell he unwraps it after he's eaten the thing is beyond me. I don't know what the hell Doofenshmirtz was trying to do in this one. I honestly have no clue. Like, I just...
Don't attempt this.
This is, no. Yeah. No, not at all. Oh, my God.
So, this one was kind of slow and not really memorable for me. I gave it a 2.
Yeah, I like it for the body snatcher reference kind of thing, I'd give it a 2.5. I think it might be the lowest I've ever rated one of these things.
Really?
Yeah.
But it was all right here. Oh, why did I think anyone would believe me? I was a fool! A fool! Hurry, Mom. You're nobody unless you're somebody in glass-tacular lipstick.
All right, Candace. At least let me stop the car.
I'm nobody unless I'm somebody. I'm nobody unless I'm somebody!
I want you boys to pick out some nice back-to-school clothes. Wow, that was fast.
Well, we do have a signature look. Although Perry's mixing it up a bit.
Cute! Okay, here's some quarters for the arcade. I'm gonna see what's keeping your sister.
Okay, see you later, Mom. With this many quarters, we can play 72 straight hours of... Hey, check it out! This was my favorite ride when I was little.
Better enjoy it while you can, boys. These old fellows are pretty worn out. I'll be back in a little while to haul them away.
What a shame. I wonder if they're still as much fun as they used to be. You know, in retrospect, I may have over-romanticized those memories. But I'll bet with a little effort and some unstable uranium isotopes, we can make them that much fun. Ferb, I know what we're gonna... Hey... Where's Perry?
Oh, get with the beat! You're messing up my score!
Carl, are you sure I don't have any more clean uniforms?
That's the last one, sir.
I mean, seriously, I'm growing mushrooms under here. I don't smell too bad, do I?
I can't smell a thing.
Well, that's a relief. I thought maybe
no,
I was...
No, I can't smell a thing, sir. I have no sense of smell.
Really?
I was born without nostrils, sir.
Oh? I thought you were joking about that on your resume. About Agent D. Just give me a few seconds. Dr. Doofenshmirtz has been buying up every can of aerosol deodorant in the tri-state area. And I'm starting to smell like a science fiction convention. We need you to find out what he's doing with all those aerosol spray cans and put a stop to it. Good luck, Agent B.
Doofenshmirtz walks to the diner.
I just called in a to-go order for Doofenshmirtz.
Hey, Vic!
You got an order for Doofyberg?
No. Doofenshmirtz. Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Surely you've heard of me.
Okay, order for Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Is that right?
No, Doofenshmirtz. My brother's the mayor.
Roger Doofenshmirtz is your brother?
Yes, Doofenshmirtz.
And your name is?
Heinz Doofenshmirtz.
Do we have an order for a Hans Doofenblatz?
Mark my words. You will remember the name of Heinz Doofenshmirtz. Could I still get my whole wheat on rye?
Sure. What's your name?
All done.
Hey, Phineas. What you doing?
Oh, hey, Isabella.
Hey, losers.
Oh, hey, guys.
Don't tell me you're playing with that lame kitty ride.
We've tricked it out. And now it's pretty awesome.
I'll be the judge of that. Step aside. This better be worth a quarter. Ooh, this is so exciting. Let me catch my breath.
What is not to like? It has what every kid loves, rocking back and forth and slowness.
May I suggest pressing that red button?
Ooh, can I?
So what do you think?
How predictable. And by predictable, I mean completely predictable, I guess. Anyway. Oh, don't bother trying to escape. The walls are made of a super slick alloy and treated with a few dozen coats of nonstick cooking spray. I'm sure you've noticed my impressive collection of aerosol spray cans. Every can of aerosol deodorant, hairspray, and bug repellent from the Tri-State area. All mine. I'm tapping into their ozone-depleting propellants to fuel my latest evil scheme. The aerosol-propelled Ozone Depletinator! The citizens of Danville will definitely learn the name of Heinz Doofenshmirtz when I spell it out in the sky in 100-foot-tall letters made of atmosphere-destroying aerosol gases, thereby depleting the protective ozone layer. And the resulting radiation will burn my name right through town. Then they'll remember. And if they don't, they can just look outside. I need a little drink of water after a tirade like that.
Ah, Glosstacular lipstick. Now I could blow up a bounce house and my lips would still be shiny. I bet Phineas and Ferb are behind this.
Wow, that was fun!
I've got you this time. And to make sure this doesn't disappear, I'm going to sit here on the evidence till Mom comes back.
This is gonna be worth a quarter.
Candace, we're right behind you. Good thing we tricked out the other rides. Come on. Hang on, Candace, we're coming.
Oh, well, the way things look can give the wrong impression. But if you adjust the torque and check the valve compression, well, you'll be advised and realize that the old cliche is true. You can't judge a book by the way it looks, for truth is up to you. Without Jekyll and Hyde, appearances aside, ain't no kitty ride. Ain't no kitty ride.
Nuts! Lost her in the skyline. Isabella, we need you to get us an aerial view.
Sure, Phineas!
All right, folks. Up next is This Ain't No Kitty Ride. So, in this episode, we have Phineas and Ferb decide to trick out the kitty rides in front of the Tri-State Mart. The Tri-State Mart? Is that really what that store is called? I thought they went back to the This Is Everything store, the one where she got the eight pounds of potato salad or something. I don't know. Anyway, determined to bust them, Candace sits in a rocket ride so it can't go anywhere until Linda shows up. Needless to say, the ride shoots off, and Candace ends up on a high-flying rocket across Danville. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz plans to leave behind a legacy by burning his name into the atmosphere using his ozone depletinator.
Nice.
Okay.
This might be probably the first in a long time that he's actually tried something deliberately evil.
Yes.
It's like, this is like really evil. This is destructive.
Yeah, because when he goes and shows Perry how he's going to do it, and he does the, not a flashback, but a flash forward, I guess you could say, and, you know, we see his name burned into the whole tri-state area, and it's fire and brimstone and evil, and of course, in the end, it doesn't work, but, you know.
Well,
I mean.
If only they had gotten his name right at the diner.
Yeah, really. Doofenshmirtz walks to the diner. We're looking for a Doofy Blat. My brother is the mayor. Hi, Roger Doofenshmirtz is your brother? What is your name again? Heinz Doofenshmirtz. That was hilarious.
I really liked Agent P's race car entry point.
Yeah. The video game, yeah.
Yeah, the video game, he sits down and drives it into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Through the wall, and the wall moves.
Yeah. Water is like drinking wet air.
Buford launches the kitty right into space.
Uh-huh.
He kind of gets up there and he's like, I don't know what to do. And then he figures out what to do. And he's like, yeah, I figured out what to do. And I'm just kind of like, ugh. I really don't care. I don't know. I didn't like this episode that much either.
I like this. I only like this one really for the song. And the Ain't No Kitty Ride song is awesome.
Kitty Ride, yeah.
I
Ain't
love
no
that
Kitty Ride's an alright song.
Yeah.
I like the unicorn ride.
Yeah.
Isabella.
Yeah.
I like that all these rides come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Crammy, what was the name of that episode?
It's Second Dimension.
It's Second Dimension
because they have to, They have to, because they go back to the first dimension. They have to stop evil second dimension Doofenshmirtz, and Agent P gives them the necklace and locket. They find the secret entrance, and they basically Carl's recreatinator or whatever basically recreates everything that they've ever done. That was the big second dimension battle. Yeah, we'll get to that way later. But yeah, the flying unicorn does come back. Because what else is Isabella gonna ride? hey, I'm gonna crush you with my big mechanical hand. And then Candace flies through, destroying. Wow, Nostradamus was right. All I can think of is Doofenshmirtz is a Nostradumbass.
I like how Ferb. To save Candace, because Candace is going to die in Danville Canyon. So where the hell is Danville or that canyon? But she's about to die in the canyon, and he uses a slingshot to shoot a quarter right into the slot, and then starts the engine again, so she's okay. So yeah, this is the type of thing that, you know, little kids get in fights over, or it's like, who would win in a fight, Ferb or Superman? You know? You know it's firm. Because he can pull off stuff like this.
Yep. Oh, Lord. Yeah, but no, I like this one. I think this is a fun one.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so kind of torn. I'm somewhere between 2 and 3. You know, because Ain't No Kitty Ride's a good story, or a good song, but honestly, by the end, I was falling asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Is
Candace seriously the damsel in distress du jour?
Well, you know, her lips are still shiny even after going into the barn.
I think she wondered what she was doing in the barn.
Hey! That's 2 weeks in a row.
Innuendo, damn it. There are no French maids in this episode. So.
Oh, God. It's hilarious. Oh, God. I... Stop it. I am going to give it a 3.5.
Oh, generous.
Yeah, well, this song, man. You know.
All right.
We lost her in the upper atmosphere at the end of the song, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Yeah, I'll take 2.5 points off because no Norm and no Vanessa.
Exactly. I was stuck at 2. It's a good song. I might give it a little bit more, but no, this wasn't crying out for me.
I think, like I said, sometimes a song can just kind of, you know, put it over for me, and it kind of does for this one.
If it's Vanessa's
Okay. But, well, some of the other songs, too, not just Vanessa's songs, but, and we didn't even talk about Major Monogram's body odor issues either. Oh my God, what the hell is that? Carl's like, I can't smell a thing. Well, that's a relief. I thought maybe I was. No, sir, I can't smell a thing. I have no sense of smell. Really? I was born without nostrils, sir. I thought you were joking about that on your resume.
Dude, that's going into the wiki.
Well, yeah. Gotta pad out this podcast somehow. And, you know, Linda. This is supposedly right around the middle of summer, I guess. I want you to pick out some nice back-to-school clothes. Well, that was fast. We, you know, kind of have a signature look, Mom.
I'm clothes.
And Perry's wearing a scarf, so he's mixing it up a bit. Oh, my God. Yeah. Ain't no kiddie ride. I don't know. I really did enjoy it. I thought it was fun. Maybe it's me. Maybe I over-romanticized this episode a little bit more. I do like Perry's non-stick trap that Doofenshmirtz tries to get him in.
Yeah, I like how he falls into it himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of poetic justice.
Yeah. And then Buford at the end, lame. That's what you said about the kiddie rides. And I was right until I wasn't.
I heard that out of you a couple of times.
What?
I was right.
Lame.
Well, I'm going to dig really deep here. Was it 2007 when you said the same thing about Transformers Animated?
Yeah.
Yep. And I was right.
Yeah. And I was right. Yeah. Until I wasn't. Yeah, that's right. I love how everybody's out of a quarter. Belgi only has a dollar. And then Ferb has to go do beatbox stuff to get a quarter from the couple passing by. That's hilarious. Because he has to slingshot the quarter into the thing. It's hilarious. Right. Doofenshmirtz walks to the diner. I love it when they mix up the evil jingle. I really do. Because it sounds so fun when they do it.
I might be leaning more toward a 3 then. Okay.
All right. Well, you're done. 3. That's it.
No take backs.
No take backs. Yep. So I know Kitty Ride. We are going to take a break. Come back after this to close the show. We'll see you in a moment, folks.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
I know what we're doing today.
Okay, Michael, if we're going to tackle this podcast thing, we've got to do something really special. It has to be cool, daily, in audio form, and undetectable by radar. Something that screams summer. I know, let's do a Phineas and Ferb review podcast. We'll call it the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym, or PALCA for short. What do you think?
I think if we're not careful, Candace is going to bust us.
You can find PALCA on the GeekCast Radio Network, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and all of the other methods you find podcasts.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacian.com.
All right, we are back here on PALCA Day 47. And, overall, fairly good day, for the most part. Kind of a little bit of a low day, but...
That was nice.
Yeah. So I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on PALCA. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We have no iTunes reviews as of yet. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TF2andMike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
GeekOnCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of PALCA and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next two full episodes of Phineas and Ferb, which actually include four cartoons. We're going to be talking about not Phineas and Ferb, then Phineas and Ferb Busters, along with the Lizard Whisperer, which has a Steve convention in it. And then we're going to attend the Robot Rodeo. For now, I am TF2N Mike with...
John Michael.
What'd you say? I couldn't hear you. You're stepping away from your microphone.
Ah, damn it. Because
quit walking away from your house.
Well, you know, this stupid thing, it normally works. I don't know what's going on. I need to update the drivers or the firmware.
Or
something.
Just get better hardware.
It's too much like work.
We'll catch you tomorrow, folks, when we are apparently not Phineas and Ferb.
Well, that was fun. Maybe tomorrow we can soup up our old bikes.
Lame!
That's what you said about the kiddie rides.
And I was right, until I wasn't.
Here it is, Mom. I'll show you. If you'll just give me a quarter, please.
Aren't you a little old for kiddie rides?
No, no, I'm not. Check it out.
Well, I guess it does have rocking back and forth and slowness.
Okay, Dollar. This is your last chance.
But wait, there's more.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, no, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, yes it is.
Yes, it is.
there's not really any more. That's about it.
But if you adjust the torque and check the valve regression, well, you'll be advised and realize that the old cliche is true. You can't judge a book by the way it looks, for truth is up to you. Like Jekyll and Hyde, appearances aside,
ain't no kiddie ride.